Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is a Design for Living Big Book meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Cara, and I am a compulsive overeater and your chairperson for today. To open this meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We start this meeting by remembering our common purpose, to extend the heart and hand of the OA Fellowship to those who still suffer. Let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Today, we are delighted to have Joanne joining us to share her experience, strength, and hope focused on the topic of step 5, 6, and 7. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you so much, Cara. My name is Joanne. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm abstinent, sober, and clean today. I have some little bit of time up, not long. I just one day, all we have is 24 hours. And I'm grateful to be here. One day at a time, we put these days together and we get some time up, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be asked to speak. It is, I am tired. I just put that right up the front. I think, I wonder if it's every Sunday, every month, but it has been a interesting journey this month of travel and experiences and community, getting involved in community. And one day at a time, that is the joy of living in recovery, is that I have community today and I have activities today, and I'm very grateful to be here. So if you would, as our chairperson just read that set aside prayer. And the set aside prayer is a prayer that I use every day and multiple times a day, and it's a prayer that brings me into alignment with steps 1, 2, and 3. I'm powerless. I can't change it. I can't change the past. I can't change other people. I can't change my physical reactivity, the way that I react. I can't change my mind. I can't change my anxiety. I just can't do it. I'm powerless. There is a power. Now that's a choice. I choose today to lean into a mystery, something magnificent, something mysterious, something bigger than me. And I ferociously make that choice every day. Step two. And step three. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of that power. I'm powerless. There is a power, that mystery, however we view it. And just for today, I'm going to let go of managing this world and lean in to that power. And I pray. I use a set aside prayer myself and I change the words every time. So please join me. I will use PowerPoint to help me keep moving through. So thank you so much. Here come. Yeah, I'm just gonna see if I can get it to load. So this is a set aside prayer. You'll notice the words are different to the words that started this meeting. God. Please set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about me, everything I think I know about others, everything I think I know about recovery. Please open my heart. Please open my mind. And allow me to have a new experience today, right now, in this meeting. Thank you so much. Welcome. As I said, my name is Joanne, and I have had I came into program at 21 years old, and I am very, very grateful. It was a long time ago, and I wandered into, I had collapsed. It was a big day for me. I'd ridden my bike all the way into where I was studying. I hadn't eaten anything. I hadn't been drinking properly, and I was on a new diet that had all these pills, and there may have been some drugs, and I don't know what was going on. But I got to, it was the middle of the day at school, at the study place, and I had fainted, collapsed. My eating was damaging my body, and I had had a fit, a physical contraction, or I don't even know. I mean, I had just fainted and been taken to the doctor, and this doctor had seen me many times. Special consideration. I don't know why, but I just couldn't get things together, and he recognized me, and he said to me, as I told him about this new diet that I was on and the diet pills I was taking. And he said to me that there was a program that he had heard of called Overeaters Anonymous. And I came to my first meeting, 12-step meeting, at 21. And I'm very, very grateful. So I won't spend too long there. Each of us are in a room for a reason. We come into these rooms powerless, baffled. Why am I doing this? Why did I do it again? I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I won't do it. And then we do it again. We're baffled. I'm baffled. And that brought me into these rooms of recovery, and I'm very grateful. But there are many people in these rooms, these 12-step rooms, who are not like these aren't, we can come to these meetings and feel good because we're no longer alone. But the purpose of these meetings is to guide us towards recovery. And we do that through learning the steps. The steps are a roadmap to waking up. We fall asleep, and the steps are a roadmap to waking up. Today, we're focusing on steps 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to start by quickly reviewing for anyone who's new or hasn't been here to see the past few months. What happens before we get to step 5? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm powerless. That's step 1. There is a power. That's step 2. And just for today, I let go of my way and I lean into that power. How do I know I'm leaning in and doing steps 1, 2, and 3? Generally, I tell people you will have a pen in your hand and you will be doing inventory. You will be doing the rest of the steps. It starts with step 4, inventory. And we've been having a look at that over the last few weeks, months. Inventory. There are 4 inventories. We're going to look at them today just to remind ourselves. And I like to look at the different dimensions, the different ways that we look at these issues and how they impact us. And the invitation from the book on page 67, which asks us to disregard all of that stuff that's going on in the world that I'm very invested in. I'm right. Why won't they do what I'm asking them to do? Everyone would be happy. I remember at about 18 or 19, I was in some relationship and I was screaming at my partner. I don't know if you would relate to that, but I was screaming at my partner. And the words that I said, exact words, if you did What if you, well, I don't know the exact words, but if you did what, if you could, if you did what I told you to do, everything would be fine. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Just do it. I was trying to be the director ferociously, and I was making myself miserable, and I was making everyone around me miserable, and I couldn't stop myself. Food has been a part of my journey since I was a child, since before I can remember. I have been interested, overly interested in food. Just games around food, always eating and finishing food and easily distracted by food. So food has always been part of my problem, part of my solution to my problem. My problem is knowing I can't living life without food. That's my problem. I get disturbed, I get distracted, I get overwhelmed, and food is my solution. These steps and learning how to apply them every day, this is a way for to find a new solution. Today, this is my solution every day. Leaning in. It starts with the set aside. In the set aside, you'll find steps 1, 2, and 3. I'm powerless. There is a power just for today. I'm going to let go of trying to manage and control the world and myself, and I'm going to lean in. My food history involves obesity, just garden variety, just I a bag, a box, whatever they come in, a tub. The serving size is the entire packet. And unlike, I have relatives who can enjoy an overeating, like they enjoy it, and what do you call it, a binge. They have a capacity for overeating. But unlike them, who then go to bed and don't eat the next day, I mean, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Even as a child, a few hours after overeating, I'm in looking for more. Actively, it's not enough. So I'm in the fridge, I'm in the freezer, I'm in the pantry as a child. As a child. So seeking more. So when I should be perhaps falling asleep, and well, I do fall asleep, but as soon as I wake up, from that couch, I go to the pantry because I need more. I need that oblivion that I found in food, and there was no way out. At 24, I'd given up on living in that obesity, and that I'd shut down, and I was alone, and I had, by this stage, daily panic attacks. Unable to get to my letterbox, and I'm unable to leave my home. Just overwhelm. So let's see. Let's move on with these slides. I'm here. I'm powerless. Food is not the only issue I have. I would say that I identify with other areas as well. But I show up one day at a time, and this is the recovery process, leaning in to inventory, restitution, looking at the rest of the work. So let's have a look where we get to today. On the slide, you'll see Bill W. As we sit here and we concentrate, and I invite you to have a pen and a piece of paper in your hand right now. And we're going to make a fuss over the steps. But just a reminder from the founder of the, well, one of the founders of AA, this Bill W., there's an image on the screen, and it talks about, and I've been saying it, it's my focus this year. I love it because I tend to make a project out of everything. I get very focused and very invested and very, not invested, I get very enthusiastic. That's what Bill calls us, enthusiasts. We are enthusiasts, and I embrace that today. It's part of my skill set. It's part of what makes me magnificent and useful. useful to my creator, useful to my mystery, useful to the people that are in my life. But always, I'm remembering that I can get out of balance. I get burnt out. And that's what this phrase reminds me. Not to get burnt out, to lean in and to work the rest of the steps, to try to keep focus. So the quote says, "Don't make a project out of working the steps. Go through your day being the sort of person you would like to be, trying to help someone else and making sure you don't hurt anyone. And when you get to the end of your day, review the 12 steps and you will find that you have worked all of them." So sponsors, working with sponsees, I remind you, your sponsee is out there working all 12 steps every day, day one. They're working all 12 steps. They're just not doing a very effective job. But when we hold them, it's really important, I think, when we have new people working on the steps to show them on day one how they're doing all the 12 steps. Just briefly. Every day they're going to do it anyway. They're out there doing it. Our job as guides, as step guides and sponsors and responsible recovering fellows, our job is to try to live our program the best we can and to share that wisdom, share our journey, share the ups and downs of our life so that they can identify. Page 18 of the big book, look for someone who has what you want. Well, how can they find you if you're always presenting a false front, sponsors? If we're always pretending everything is fine, how can that newcomer identify? Lean in and be the person that you would want to be and share that journey in those meetings so that that newcomer can see you and identify and be part of that journey with you. So let's move on. Me, I'm talking to myself. You, I won't stay here. We've been looking at this, but if you're new and you haven't seen my slides on the screen, step one, we have step one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And we split that first part, admitted we were powerless over alcohol. In this meeting, our focus is food. We admitted we were powerless over food. So that affects my body and my mind. That's Dr. Silkworth's opinion in that chapter where you read the doctor's opinion. It talks about, they use different words, but it talks about the body getting hijacked. I have a reactive body. So I will have reactions to food. My body gets hijacked. But I also have a mind that gets hijacked. So my mind gets obsessive and focused, and I can't seem to see myself out of it. I can't see a way out. Once I start, I cannot stop. That's the allergy of the body. Once I stop, I cannot stay stopped. That's the obsession of the mind. And the second part of step one, that our lives have become unmanageable. So that's our willpower. Unmanageability. The beds are not made, the dishes are not done, the kids are crying, we can't get to work, emotional, depressed, anxiety, rage. That's how it looks when I'm living in self-will. Lack of this willpower. My willpower doesn't work. So where and how are we to find power? So we looked at, again, this is Dr. Silkworth's writing here from the big book. It talks about the cycle of addiction going round and round. Self-reliance, that's generally what we're doing. See, lack of power, that was our dilemma. That's what the big book says. We keep in this cycle of self-reliance. We keep going round and round. I'll make a firm resolution. I won't do it again. And then before we know it, we're doing it again. Now we're remorseful. We emerge remorseful. We make another firm resolution. I'll never do it again. And we go round and round and round. And the way out that Bill W. He wasn't the first one. People throughout history have been finding a way out from addiction type behavior. And the common thing that they were doing, the commonality, the secret, the mystery of a 12-step program is spirit, leaning in to power, a mystery power. Something bigger than myself, that awe, that inspiration that we get from something bigger than us. So, letting go of self-reliance, we have to do this every day, many times a day, but how? We lean in. A change in the way we think, feel, and behave. This is not a self-help program. This is step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So I'm inviting you to have a pen and paper in your hand because I'm about to give you a little bit of a job, a homework. Not homework because I want you to do it right now. On the screen, well, in a moment, on the screen, there's a picture of self-reliance. I use the image of the square wheels. A bumpity bump, I damage the road, I damage myself, my whole vehicle's going to fall apart, and I don't know if I'm going to get where I need to go. Self-reliance. I'm holding on to that wheel, driving that vehicle, trying to control and manage my life. Self-reliance. This is an image of reliance on something other, and I have an image on the screen of a big, slow-moving truck. And I'm gently leaning in, gently holding the wheel. And the wheels of this vehicle are round, so I don't damage the road. You know, and I don't damage as much, perhaps. And I can carry things in this vehicle. It's useful. I am useful. In recovery, I become useful. Made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. So we make a decision. On the screen, there's a person scratching their head. What should I do? Every day, we are faced with many, many opportunities to ask a question. In our work today, so we make that third step, made a decision. And for me, the set-aside prayer is a way of doing that very quickly and changing the words. So I'm going to change the words again here, just to show you and show myself and bring myself into this as I ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to consider something bothering you today, a resentment, a fear, some sex conduct, a secret, a shame, something that bothers you today. The last 24 hours, it's on your mind and it is bothering you. Can you think of something and write it down right now? Resentment. And while you're writing, thinking about that word resentment, the word sentiment is this emotion. And re is to feel it again and again and again. And so re. Resentment comes from sentiment. It's an emotion I feel again and again and again. I feel it today. Sometimes we'll feel rage. Sometimes we'll just feel irritated. Sometimes it's not rage or irritation, it's grief. It's a disturbance. I am disturbed. And I invite you to write a situation, a person, a place, or a thing that is creating a disturbance in your life today. Inventory in the big book, I split into four parts: resentment, fear, sex, and our secrets and shame, those things we have trouble letting go of. So hopefully you've written something down. I'm just giving you a little bit of time to write something that's bothering you today. Now, I won't go through this in detail, just to remind you When we look at what's bothering us in the big book, it invites us on page 65 to do three columns: the who, the why, and then we go through and we look at these different dimensions of that, what is disturbing us. And those dimensions are self-esteem, pride, ambition, security, personal relations, gender relations, and pocketbook. Seven dimensions, so that we can get a clear look at what's bothering us. So we can be connect, really understand it from different dimensions, different angles, different perspectives. Getting a look at what is bothering us so that I can be free. It doesn't feel good to do the third column. It feels very, very uncomfortable. This here, columns 1, 2, and 3 are on the worksheet and on the screen today. Doing this column, these three columns, is very disturbing. We're looking at your Achilles heel. What is disturbing you? And we're writing it up. And we may need step guides and sponsors and support, therapy. You know, we may need some help. Lean in. So this here is from page 65 of that big book, and we extend it. Extended column work is what I do, what works for me. There are different ways of doing the steps. Doing this, having done this, looking at what's in front of you today, what I'm inviting you to do is to write a summary of what's going on. So maybe what you could do, looking at what you wrote, I'm disturbed by, well, on the screen it says Claire, because she didn't invite me to her 30th birthday party. Do you have a disturbance? And I want you to write down the who and the why, column 1 and column 2. Today, right now, everyone. And then what you need to do is to be able to summarize your disturbance. This is normally I would get people to write it out, but we're going to move on. Here, my self-esteem is a loyal, helpful, passionate, fun-loving friend. And my fear, my self-esteem fear, is that people don't like me. That's why she didn't invite me. She doesn't like me. My pride is that others should see Claire treating me as her favorite person. And what's my fear, my pride fear? Others will see that Claire has rejected me. Claire doesn't like me. That's my fear in that dimension of pride. What am I afraid other people will see? And then we move into column 4. So I'm inviting you on your page, maybe to jot down, there's a little bit of self-esteem that you can see and your fear, and a little bit of pride that you can see. What is it you want people to see? And what is it you're afraid that they are seeing? What is it you're afraid they will see? Can you write something down? My self-esteem and my pride. They're the most important ways of accessing what's going on for me. From my self-esteem and my pride, I generally can see what my role is, and that what we need to do moving on is to find a perceived role, a summary of everything that's being done to me. Why am I disturbed? Ask yourself this question and write it down if you don't have it. It's a very important question. What is this other person doing to me? What are they doing to me? And what role are we playing? If I was Shakespeare and I was giving you your role, I want you to play the disturbed, the abandoned wife. See, it's a role. What role are we playing? The example on the screen, I am the rejected, unappreciated friend. She rejected me. She didn't appreciate me. And I write down a role. I now realize I do this work and I see my character defects coming up after I do the work, pride, delusional thinking, not letting go, judgmental. And I ask myself, I see myself going into when the friend is in the room, I'm gossiping, I'm not looking her in the eye, I'm avoiding her, I'm judging her, I'm not appreciating the work that she does. And I get down to the bottom of my worksheet and I recognize a different role that I am playing at the same time. These are two roles. The real role down the bottom of the worksheet, it's called the, excuse me, it's called the real role on this worksheet, but it's a choice. It's no more real than the one that's at the top. It's a choice. It's a different perspective, one that we take in recovery with serenity and courage and wisdom. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In that attitude, in grace, I see a different role. And today, that role in this example, I am the unappreciating, rejecting coworker. I don't appreciate her, and I'm rejecting her. Yes, she didn't invite me to her 30th birthday party, but I'm not making eye contact. I'm avoiding her in the breakout room, in the lunchroom, and I'm gossiping about her. It's not good. So I see a different role, and that's the grace of the work. So I'm asking you to look at the work that you've got, and to what I'm going to do is put a whole lot of words on the screen. The words are character defects. They're descriptions from different places of character defects in different dimensions, different ways of looking at them. And I'm wanting you to identify one or two or three character defects that you are active in today, that you are using today, 30 years sober, one day sober. This is something that you are using today. So here we go. Are you ready? We're going to put some on the screen, and I'm inviting you only to write down one, two, or three, maximum three. All right, here we go. The problem will be choosing because there are so many. So the first dimension, I'm going to look at five dimensions. Self-seeking, isolating or withdrawing from people. Using food, media, drugs, alcohol, fantasy to numb out. This is self-seeking behavior. If you are doing this, when I feel like the abandoned wife, the disregarded partner, the overlooked colleague, when I feel that perceived role, how am I behaving? Do I overwork, overschedule? Do I slam the door? Do I give people silent treatment? Do I try to control others? What do I do? Acting superior, gossiping, playing the victim, getting revenge, wanting to get revenge, holding on to resentments, acting out sexually or romantically to feel wanted. That's an interesting one. Making others responsible for my feelings. So these are just some words. Did you identify with one of them right now, today? Write it down. And then, if I get it to move, this is just a different series of words around being selfish. Let me have a look what it says. Not seeking the other person's point of, not seeing, you don't have to seek it, but you don't see the other person's point of view. Wanting things my way, wanting special treatment, thinking I'm better, wanting to be the best, thinking others are jealous. Wanting others to be like me, being miserly, possessive, wanting more than my share, reacting from self-loathing or self-righteousness. There are lots of words on the screen. When I am looking at selfish, I tend to just look at words that start with self, because I try to keep things easy for my brain. Right now, today, do you find yourself leaning into self-righteousness? Write it down if you do. Self-pity. With this particular resentment, when you are the rejected sibling, the disadvantaged citizen, the role that we play, what are you doing? Are you going into self-righteous, self-pity, self-loathing? Those are some ones that I often go into myself. Again, there's lots of words on the screen. I'm not going to read through them, but at the moment we're looking at dishonesty. It's very dishonest and delusional thinking comes up. Can you identify right now today some perhaps dishonesty going on for you? Ignoring others, acting to fill, there's lots of words on the screen. Not expressing my feelings or ideas, blaming others for my problems, not admitting where I have done the same thing, having a superior attitude, thinking I'm better, exaggerating or minimizing my thoughts, what's going on, expecting others to be what I want them to be. What is, am I saying that? Expecting others to be what they aren't, being a perfection. These lists are not my own. There is a PowerPoint, there is a handout which has all these words on them, and it's useful sometimes if you can't find character defects. So I thought I'd put them on here, but now I realize there's lots of words in here that I don't even know how to use. I will leave them for you to have a look at. Selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, the delusional thinking, frightened. What am I afraid? Do you identify fear coming up today? Fear of being alone, fear of making decisions, fear of authority figures. I was reading through this list and found it very useful. Those of you, I will make the list available so you can find them on the website. I won't read through them. There's so many. The fear that we, fear of being ordinary, the fear that I'm not special, fear of spiritually being spiritually unworthy, fear that God won't help me. This is a useful list to go through, the fear, but I won't read through them today. Inconsiderate, not considering the other person's point of view, making assumptions, expecting others to read my mind. Using others emotionally, sexually, financially, or spiritually for my own comfort. Ignoring the effects of my past behavior in relationships. So I go through this list, and maybe you've identified some of these character defects. Can I just see a show of hands? How many people can identify something, please? Maybe wave those hands around so I don't feel alone here. I tell you, I read this list and I'm depressed because I'm like, all right, identify. How many of you identify every one of them? Hands, keep your wave your hands at the screen. Not maybe not everyone, but you feel that there's more than 10. As I was reading through that list, it's I identify that one. I identify that one. Wave at the screen if you identified that. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Those people that are identifying, I want you to consider just release all those words and just put down self-loathing. That maybe the character defect of self-loathing is what is active in us today, and it is the character defect that's killing us the fastest. When we approach different 12-step programs, those of us that have multiple addictions, the question that is asked is, which addiction is killing you the fastest? And that's the one where you start your focus, start your journey, because it's going to kill you the fastest. But is that where we stop? No. We need to open our eyes and keep this journey going. This isn't about, my problem isn't food. It never was. My problem isn't sex and money and men and drugs and alcohol. It never was. My problem today is living life without all those things. I am disturbed and I don't live life well. For me, obesity, isolation, anxiety. I cannot get out of my own way. The solution is a connection to something, a mystery bigger than myself. When I see all these character defects, I just even reading it just then, I got a bit overwhelmed. Because that's my disease is self-loathing. I love to delve into self-loathing and self-pity. It's part of my disease. Today, my recovery is choosing today to let it go. Yes, maybe I identify with these behaviors, but just for today, we're moving on. Step five, finally, hopefully you've written down just one or two or three of those character defects because we're going to use that. We're going to use that. Step five, admitted to God, right? Admitted to our God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. That's what we were just looking at there. The exact nature of what I am doing. I have to see what the other person is doing. And then on page 67, it says, disregarding them. First of all, I have to allow myself not to abandon myself. I need to do columns 1, 2, and 3. That is a precious moment where you're acknowledging that disturbance and allowing yourself to be disturbed, even if it's not politically correct, right? Even if it's not polite, even if it's petty, I don't care. Allow yourself, give yourself some grace so that we don't do that self-abandon. When I self-abandon, I'm not leaving space for that spirit. I'm living in self-reliance. So we need to approach steps 1, 2, and 3 with grace and courage and look at what is the disturbance. But then we move, page 67, we disregard all of that real stuff. We disregard it and we move into my part. What is my part? And through that, we see this selfish or self-seeking or delusional thinking or frightened or perhaps inconsiderate behavior. We see areas, and the big book calls them different things, character defects. We see an area where we are picking up. Step five, we pocket our pride and go to it. So that's what you're invited to do, write down one or two character defects. This is the moment we stop hiding. We share with rigorous honesty. With rigorous honesty. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. Page 73, and page 75, we'll move on, but page 73 starts to talk about step five in more detail. It says somebody, and it doesn't always have to be your sponsor. Sometimes it's a therapist or a doctor or a lawyer. We need to find a closed-mouthed person who is not going to be impacted by what you're saying, who's not going to be put in jeopardy or traumatized by it. So when I have outside issues, I have a history with some trauma, some deep sadness, some sad things. So I don't talk in detail with my sponsor about that. She is not my therapist. But what I do say is I'm having some bad memories coming up. I'm going to get some help. Can you keep me accountable for doing that, sponsor? And she says, yes. Bless, bless. Will you help me not to hear what's going on, but to help me get in the door to seeking some outside help? That's the sponsor. They're not the medical, they're not medical professionals. They're not our therapists. They are volunteers, sober one day more than us, hopefully, right? They're just sober people guiding us on our journey. So we must be entirely honest, but that isn't always going to be in depth with our sponsor. Our sponsors are volunteers. Okay, so we have some consideration around step five. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Have God do it. Now, I don't care what you call that God, but notice it's not me And it doesn't say my sponsor, and it doesn't say my therapist or my drugs, my medical doctor, take this pill and you'll be fine, which is what they love to say. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I'm powerless. There is a power, and just for today, just for today, I'll lean in. Now, I have to do a lot of work. I have to do a lot of work. Am I willing? Willingness is what we meditate on in step six, willingness. If we can answer to our satisfaction that we've been thorough, I mean, the paragraph before it is talking about, have I been thorough? Are the stones in place? Have I been thorough in step five in doing all that work? And then we say, we look again at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. And I use a joke there on the screen. You'll see it getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Am I willing to be willing to be willing to be willing to be willing? Because sometimes we're not willing. It's an Achilles heel for us. Whenever you do this work, it's something that is disturbing you. So it's something that you are having trouble letting go of. Often, these character defects are what saved my life. They're my coping mechanisms. These character defects are deeply in me and I have trouble letting them go. It's how I cope. They are my solution when I'm disturbed. Like, it's my solution. Just yell or control or manipulate. I will fix you and then I'll be fine. It's my solution to being disturbed. Just get more into things. And for me, it's a disaster. Maybe other people can do it, but for me, it turns into a disaster for me and the people around me. I've written here, we start to see the truth. Some of these character defects might have helped us feel safe, feel protected, perhaps feel in control in the past. But now they are hurting us and the people around us. I like to remember the payoff. You'll see this on question 10 from that fourth column work, where it starts to lean into this idea of what am I willing to be willing to be willing to be willing to be willing to let go of? I may not be willing, but can I have a little bit of willingness? Like, you don't have to be fully willing, but maybe there's a little bit of willingness. And to do that, to find willingness, we have to first see the payoff. What are these character defects giving me? And am I willing to let go of that payoff? So let me have a look. Character defect of being resentful. What's the payoff? I feel right. You know what? It feels good. That's the self-righteous rage. It's very hard to let go of that. It feels good to be right. Righteously right feels good. If I hold on to a resentment, I don't have to forgive. I can avoid intimacy. I'll just read through what's on the screen. So let me just get where I can see it. The defect of character of fear, holding on to fear, indulging in fear, revel like just overwhelming myself in fear. What is the payoff?
Gentle reminder.
Thank you, Kara. I stay safe. I don't have to risk or trust. Perfectionism, what's the payoff? I feel in control. I don't have to be vulnerable. Control, the defect of control. What's the payoff? I avoid powerlessness. I try to protect myself from chaos. Now, these are just words. I was just brainstorming. You don't have to agree, and maybe you see something different. I want to say the payoff, the defect of control to avoid powerlessness. If you do have a pen in your hand, please consider writing this down. Recovery and a connection to spirit, what we're striving for in 12 steps. Willing to power, sorry, excuse me, to powerlessness, recovery, sitting, willing to sit in the power in an unanswered question. Am I willing to sit in an unanswered question? That's the quote. I may have messed up that quote actually. Willing to sit in an unanswered question. This unanswered question is I'm powerless. Like, will I get that job? All right, will I get that job? Will they love me? Will they stay? Will I get well? Will they get well? Will they pass the test? Will they get the job, the raise of money at work? Being willing to sit in an unanswered question is a deeply spiritual action. Just sitting in the power of that unanswered question. That's the quote. To sit in the power of an unanswered question, capital P for power. That's the higher power. To sit in the power of an unanswered question. That is a practice of faith. Please, I invite us to do it every day. Self-pity, what is the payoff? I get attention or relief. I don't have to take action. Anger, I feel powerful. I don't have to feel pain or powerlessness. I don't have to feel grief. Often anger is masking grief. So it's a way of protecting myself. Dishonesty, and I can't read what it says. Let me just have a look. Dishonesty, I protect my image. I avoid shame or rejection. Okay, so what we're looking at here is the payoff. Step six, am I willing to let it go and to move into this next step seven? We don't take step six until we see the payoff. So a moment ago, I asked you to write down a character defect. Can you consider the payoff to that character defect and write it down? I've got some examples on the screen. I've just been reading through them. What is the payoff to holding on to that character defect? And are you willing to move away from that payoff? With food, what food gave me was freedom from my anxieties. It also kept me trapped in anxiety, but it helped me deal with social situations. So I needed different techniques. If I was going to let go of the food, I needed different mechanisms to help me to cope in life. I'm not going to be willing to let go of these payoffs until I lean into something else. And for me, it started with this step work. Am I willing to let go of seeming smooth, seeming in control when in social situations? My hands may shake, my voice may quiver. I may be odd. I was at a park yesterday, a social situation yesterday, and I found my voice getting faster than my thinking, and I was embarrassed for one moment. And I paused and I breathed. And that for me is finding power, being willing to pause. And then I smiled and laughed. And the person I was talking to, smiled and laughed too. It was funny and it was endearing and beautiful. But what I was modeling was self-acceptance. I am a person whose voice sometimes gets lost in all my thinking. I lose myself. I get over-enthusiastic and I trip over my words. Can I accept myself today? That means I may feel embarrassed. I may need to pause in the middle of a social situation. I just stopped, breathe, and move on. So I'm just getting ready to, I invite you to consider that character defect. What is the payoff? I really would love to hear that if we have a chance. What was your payoff? And the step six is, am I willing? Am I willing? So on the screen, you see these two choices. Again, I've got the picture of the truck with the circles. That's the higher power. This what happened yesterday Was I willing to be that slow-moving vehicle and not try to be the spark? That's meant to be a sports car. It's not, doesn't look like a sports car. It's meant to be a sports car, but it looks like it's going to get where it's going very fast. But because I'm holding on so tight to the outcome, what I want her to see, well, yesterday I was talking to this woman and I wanted to explain myself well. I wanted her to be invested in what I was talking about, and I was getting very enthusiastic, and I lost my way just for a moment. But at any moment, at any point during the day, we pause and we breathe. And it's like, oh yeah, what is my choice? What am I willing to do? So on the screen, we have some words. I'm going to read through them because I know my time is coming to an end. Thank you so much to my timer. Let me just read what it says here if I can see it. So what I want you to do, don't write it down. You will get a copy of these slides, so you don't need to write these down. But here's some phrases, and I want you in your head to think, is this phrase, is this what I'm saying, is that person in self-reliance or in God-reliance? Is that person in the fast-moving vehicle with square wheels, bumpity-bumpity down the road, or is that person in that vehicle with circles, with circular wheels, rolling down, listening to that GPS, God positioning system, GPS? Here we go. I'm going to read some phrases. And in your head, I want you to think which one you think it goes to. All right? Here we go. What can I do to get them to fix it? Anyone had that thought? What can I do to get that person to fix this problem? Can I fix this problem? Am I open to trusting a power greater than myself to release this problem? Let's keep going. There is more of them. I don't know where they are. Oh, here we go. What can I do to fix it? I think that's the same question. Can I allow something beyond me to guide me in letting this go? All right. It might be a bit easy for you to figure out which is which, but I want you to hold on to the exercise because even if we know how to do it in our head, we don't know how to do it in our heart. And we find ourselves going into self-reliance every day. I shouldn't need help with this. Self-reliance. I'm just telling you if you didn't know. I shouldn't need help with this. They shouldn't need help with this. That's not on there, but I got inspired to go a bit further. The shoulds. They are pretty much all of them on this self-reliance spectrum. Let's keep going. Am I willing to let a higher power help me let go of it? Am I willing? Could I stop holding on to this so tightly and let my spirit take it? How can I make this go away? You hearing it? Which one's that? How can I make this problem go away? I just need to figure this out. How many of us have had that thought? I need to understand it and then I'll do better. If I understand it, then I'll know what to do. No, that is self-reliance. Bless, bless, bless. I can't let go of this until I've made it right. Then I'll let go. That reminds me of my food history. I'll finish the packet, the bag, the box, the pantry, and then I'll stop. You know, those New Year's resolutions. I'll start the diet on Monday, on the weekend, on the holidays, after the holidays, right? I'll start the diet when I finish this job, when I get a better boyfriend, a better job, a better wardrobe, then I'll stop, right? There must be a solution. I just haven't thought of it yet. Am I willing to let a higher power help me let go of it? Anyway, so I won't go into that anymore. I think definitely time to wind up. So I'm closing with a prayer. This is on page 76 of that big book. When ready, we say something like this. So this is the seventh step prayer. It is the first place where there is an amen in the work that we do. It's the first pause in those steps. And at the word character, I'm going to read through it twice. And at the second reading, at the word character, I pause. And I focus on that defect of character that you identified with. And I pray for that to be released. I focus my energy. Today, I'm going to use self-loathing, but you may have something else. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. And we read through one more time, focused on the character defect that's impacting your life today. Am I willing today to let go of that payoff, please? You may not be fully willing, but are you a little bit willing? Can you muster just a tiny bit of willingness? My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character, including my self-loathing, which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. On the page here it says, we stop trying to fix or manage ourselves, our world, the people around us, our lives, the lives of the people around us. We stop and instead ask for a power greater than ourselves to transform us. We lean in to that power. It doesn't mean that we don't have work to do, that we don't ha that we become doormats, that we need to submit to the world and all the problems in it. It's the beginning of a journey of leaning in to navigate life, not via self-will, but via this power greater than ourselves. We lean into power. And we use that to navigate the world. Sometimes we do have to stand up to protest, to set boundaries. Sometimes we do have to change our behavior or have a difficult conversation. And today we do that with guidance, with sponsorship, with pausing, with prayer, with that power greater than ourselves. And our lives are transformed because of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joanne, so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today. We will now be transitioning into a question and answer segment. I'd like to introduce Tali, who is our moderator for today.
Thank you, Cara, and thank you, Joe. Hi, everyone. My name is Tali. I'm a sugar addict, compulsive overeater, and your moderator for today. And our first question is, going back to step five, how would you approach an outside person to take your fifth step who may not know about 12-step recovery?
It's a great question. The fifth step, I would suggest starting by connecting in sponsorship and having a sponsor relationship. We're in a 12-step fellowship, so connecting in sponsorship. But perhaps parts of our fifth step or that we feel safer, we feel more connected in the relationship that we have in our with our therapist or our someone in that sort of line of work. So there are many times where we get outside help. I really like encourage us to do that when we need it. The person who's receiving our fifth step is not trying to fix us, or by the time we get to a fifth step, it is just a hearing. It's just they're hearing us. So if you do go to an outside person, what's their motive? What's their priority? What are they going to be doing? You could perhaps give them instructions. Please, I just want to say this. I just want to share this work. I'm not sure how that would go. It doesn't always go well. Like the person then comes in and tries to moderate and fix and feedback, but that can be helpful too. It can be very helpful for your therapy or the person that you're talking to as well. So I would suggest clear boundaries. I mean, the book says talk to them about instructions of the fifth step. The fifth step is no longer a place of interaction. I'm no longer working through this issue. I just want to get it out as quick as possible, all of it. I want to just get it clear, get it out. So speaking to the person, asking them, perhaps I have this work to do. Can you make notes? And maybe if you wish to speak to me about those notes at the end, but could you listen as I read through my work? And you try to read through the work in complete or all of it and see where you go from there. I might want to speak to the person who had the question at the end when we close the recording, because there might be some specific things to do with that. I'm not sure that I've answered the question, but maybe we'll come back to it, Tali. Let's go to the next question, and hopefully I've answered the question enough. Go ahead, Tali.
Thank you so much, Joe. The next question we have is, I find my inventory work really emotional and painful. I just want to stop. How do you keep on going?
Thank you so much, Tali. That is a beautiful question. I'm just thinking about the wordings there. I find my inventory work really emotional and painful, and I just want to stop. So, there's a book that I haven't read yet, but I was listening to that. The only way out is through. I think that book comes from one of the 12 fellowships. It's the title of the book. And it's just interesting to me that I find something really emotional, really painful, and yet I don't go through it. Although we think we're letting it go, what we're really, or we're hiding, or we're, we don't want to deal with it. What's happening is it's festering inside of us. It's festering inside of us, and we push it down. I push it down with food or other behavior that might lead me back into the food. These steps, so we've been practicing today, we've been talking about steps 5, 6, and 7, the good and the bad. My creator, I'm now ready that you can accept or take all of me, the good and the bad. So we need to see what it is we're holding on to. We need to see what it is that I can let go of. So we hold on to shame, perhaps, or we hold on to guilt, and we might be, it might be that energy of the only way out is through. This is the steps that are a way of going through this challenging life experience, so that we don't have to stuff it down and avoid it through using food or through using different food-related substances that bring us back, food-related behaviors that bring us back into this this disease behavior where we could stay for a lifetime. We get lost in relapse, and sometimes it's our sadness and our resentments that are holding us back. I got a bit lost in that, but I hope that was helpful, Tali.
Thank you, Joe. Another question we have is, I see the payoff I get from sitting in resentment, but I'm having a hard time understanding the payoff of sitting in fear. Can you talk more about fear and the payoff?
Thank you so much for the question again, and let me just put my mind to that. The payoff from fear for me, with my history and my personal experience, the payoff from holding on to fear was that I didn't have to get out of the house. I didn't have to deal with life. I didn't have to move forward. I didn't have to get help. I could stay in self-reliance. So that's probably one of the biggest payoffs is self-reliance. So fear and faith are on in the children's playground. I think I said it in this series. It's on a seesaw. They're opposites on the other end. So as my faith increases, my fear goes down. So the more I can lean into this mystery, the more I can pause and listen to a whispering sound, my voice, the more that I lean into this idea of steps one and two, I'm powerless, there is a power. The more I lean into that, the less I am connected to that fear, the less power the fear has. So the payoff for me to fear was that it gave me an excuse to stay in self-reliance because I'm fearful, don't you know? It gave me an excuse to stay in self-reliance. If I give up the fear, I may have to give up the self-reliance because the two are connected. I might have to have faith. I might have to breathe in. I might have to sit with an uncomfortable question, and I've said it before, but maybe I haven't said it today. Sitting in the power of an unanswered question, that takes faith. To sit in the power of an unanswered question. Is it going to work out okay? Are they going to love me? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to get the job? Am I going to have enough money? Am I going to be safe? We can sit in fear. Or we can move forward in faith. And the faith of sitting in the power of an unanswered question. So we allow the question to percolate and we continue to put one foot forward in front of the other. So I don't sit at home not taking action. What is the next healthy action for me to take? To do an outreach call, to pay a gas bill, to get out of the house and go for a walk. If I sit in fear, I just don't leave the living room. So the payoff to fear is I don't have to move. I don't have to risk. I don't have to let go of self-reliance. I get to sit still. And somehow that's a bit of a payoff. There's more to it, but that's just what's coming to me now. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's now 10 minutes to the hour, and our Q&A time has come to an end. I will now hand the meeting back to our chairperson, Kara. Thank you, Joe and Kara.
Thank you, everyone. According to our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. As we have now moved to virtual meetings, it is important that we contribute to be fully. Oh, it's important that we have continue to be fully self-supporting. This allows Overeaters Anonymous to continue to carry the message to those that still suffer. You are able to send your donations through our website at www.ad4l.info. For those of you able to see the Zoom chat, the link will also be posted there. Thank you all for your support. It is appreciated. A reminder that A Design for Living Big Book OA is a daily meeting. We are based out of Melbourne, Australia. The recording from today's workshop will be available from our website, where you can also find out about other upcoming events and speakers.
Visit our website at www.ad4l.info. Our next monthly speaker series will be held on August 10th, and the topic will be steps 8 and 9. We hope to see you there. In closing, I'd like to thank you all for your service in coming here today. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You will find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings to learn the many ways OA can help you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honour each other's anonymity. What you hear here, whom you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together, we get better. To close the meeting, will Ellen please unmute and read the promises?
Thank you. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We'll comprehend the word serenity and we'll know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economy insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations what used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled amongst us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.